International Overdose Awareness Day will be observed in Kensington tomorrow evening when hundreds of participants are expected to gather for a March in Black. Joining me now is the event organizer, Dan Martino. Dan, thanks for being here on NewsWorks tonight.
It is my pleasure.
Let listeners note that you are dressed in black, and I understand the inspiration for the name of the event comes from a Johnny Cash song.
That is correct, yeah, the Man in Black. You know, if you listen to the lyrics, it speaks a lot about, you know, the poor and beaten down, and ultimately finishes up like, till things are brighter, I'm the Man in Black. It spoke to me. You know, we're dealing with this heroin crisis in Philadelphia, and it's getting worse, gets worse every year. So I thought that song was a good allusiatory name.
And the trajectory of this march goes right through the depth of the heroin problem in Philadelphia.
Right. And that is absolutely on purpose. We're starting at the York Dolphin stop. You know, for locals, that's sort of where things start to get a little bit hairier. It ends in McPherson Square, which has been in the news lately. You know, there's been stories about the librarians out there having to rush out to save some people. So it is, in a sense, ground zero right there in Fairhill.
Here's your opportunity to be a little bit more explicit. What do you mean by hairier?
That's where you're going to get a little bit more of the open-air drug markets, a little bit more of the public injection. That's where you'll start to see needles on the streets, syringes.
And that scene has become normal.
Right. And this is something that I've been talking to people who are on the opposing viewpoints of mine, is that, you know, they'll tell me that something like a supervised injection facility, which is something I've been strongly advocating for, normalizes heroin abuse. And I think that seeing needles on the street every day and we have kids walking to school seeing dead bodies, that's normalizing. There can't be anything more normalizing than seeing it every day.
I can imagine naysayers in part saying, well, that's all good and well, but please not in my neighborhood.
Right. Well, I agree. You know, this is the not in my backyard, the NIMBY solution that people like to say. This is, I don't want to see this anymore. You don't. We all want the same thing. Everybody wants the same thing. We all want a clean and healthy city. And so a supervised injection facility, while it does not solve every problem that comes with this crisis, it does help cross the starting line. You know, at least we can get needles and syringes off the street. At least there won't be 24-hour public injection. You know, if you walk through the streets of Kensington, you can expect to see somebody either dipping out or shooting up.
And so you'll have representatives from law enforcement and government officials and first responders and victims all speaking during the course of this march that kicks off tomorrow evening at 6.
That's correct, yeah. So we're starting at 6 o'clock at the York Dolphin stop off the L and then marching north on Kensington Avenue. The idea is to start at 6 o'clock at the York Dolphin stop. We'll have activists speaking. We have Brooke Feldman, Elvis Rosado from Prevention Point. And then moving north, we're going to the Huntington stop where we're going to have representatives from police, fire, and EMTs to discuss the problems they see every day. We have Beth Grossman and Larry Krasner, who are both running for DA in the city, to speak at that platform. And then we will move on to the Somerset stop where we'll have politicians, especially we have Councilwoman Maria Quiñones Sanchez, who will be speaking. And from there, we'll conclude the march with a vigil at McPherson Square. So we're asking people who, family members, loved ones, friends of people who have passed away to come and, you know, we'll have a candlelit vigil. Angels in Motion, who has been incredible working with the people on the street here, they have pinwheels where people can write the names of their loved ones that they've lost. We're going to be putting it into the lawn, and then we'll be passing around microphones so that anybody who wants to speak about the people they've lost are free to do so. And
might you also take the microphone in that capacity?
It's very possible. You know, we've all dealt with this in our own way. I have personal experience with this. My brother struggled with heroin, and fortunately, he made it on the other side. He's engaged to be married. He's working for AAA, actually, which is he's now the eighth best salesman they have, apparently. You know, he's Rookie of the Year. This shows me that there is hope for these people. You know, we didn't know, our family didn't know how badly he was struggling until he went to rehab the first time and we found the needles in his car. And maybe that was part denial. You know, he did a very good job of hiding that. And anybody who's lived with people struggling know how good they are at deception. It's a problem that so many of us face.
Dan, you mentioned your brother just now going to rehab the first time. Did it take the first time?
He went twice. He went twice. And he is very lucky. He has a very strong family structure that supports him. He has a fiance now that was there for him, you know, even when it got very, very bad, very, very sad. And it was hard. It was hard for all of us. You know, I didn't tell him this, and I haven't told anyone this, but I was preparing myself to lose him. And that's a very dark place to be.
And that speaks to the toll it takes, not merely on the victim per se, but also the collateral family and by extension, the community. And speak more about the role of these community groups you cited, Prevention Point and Angels in Motion.
Prevention Point, they've been around since the 90s. They are the city's needle exchange program, which helps people who are struggling with addiction. They give them needles. They exchange needles for dirty ones, which helps reduce HIV and Hep C. In fact, back in the 90s, the transmission rate for HIV among people who were using dirty needles was 50%, and today that number is 5%. So they have saved countless lives, saved millions of dollars. Episcopal was going under at the time trying to deal with this, and they're still there. People can say they don't agree with what they do, but their success is there. You know, you can't debate that.
And so given the success of, for example, the syringe exchange program, what are some successes subsequent that you'd like to see idealistically come out of tomorrow night's march?
Like, as I said, I've been a strong advocate for supervised injection facilities. I don't believe the city was prepared for the epidemic. Now there just aren't enough beds. I mean, the mayor's task force, the opioid task force, put out a report, said 70,000 Philadelphians are currently afflicted. That's 1 in 22 people. So when I go around and I talk about supervised injection facilities, it's not a way to coddle these people. It's to connect people who are using with the resources to get help.
In spite of the pervasiveness of the problem, as you just described it, do you still feel there's this overall sense that a drug user is his or her own victim and it's, in some sense, their fault?
I hear that all the time. And to that, I'd say, you know, people choose to smoke cigarettes and we still treat lung cancer. And people choose to eat poorly, but we still treat diabetes and heart disease. You know, some people just have that stereotypical image of a junkie, you know, somebody who will rob them, and they're disgusting and they're filthy people, but they're human beings. They just happen to have a disease of addiction. It needs to be treated like a health emergency. They need help. They need our help, and they're not getting it.
Do you have a sense that the current Kenney administration at least has an ear to hearing about possible ways forward?
Absolutely. I mean, they released their task force recommendation, and recommendation 13 was to further explore supervised injection facilities. So it's not as though they just threw it in the trash can and said never. You know, I think that they understand that there are many solutions here, and this is one of them, and it should be explored. I mean, the American Medical Association recommended this. That is something that Philadelphia should take note of, because that speaks volumes, at least to my mind.
Obviously, you come at this with a point of view that you've articulated. To what extent are you open to those who might have divergent opinions also attend this gathering tomorrow?
I think that's great. I think that we need to have that conversation. You know, it's vitally important if we're going to solve this problem that people on the left and the right of the issue come together to have a reasonable conversation.
In the context of the current political climate nationally, in the context of budgetary constraints locally in Philadelphia, and do you have cause for optimism in the short run?
I do. Right now, what I've been doing and a lot of the other people I work with doing are going in, like you said, in a grassroots manner and just going from civic association to civic association, talking to communities, talking to people living in the streets and saying, we want to solve this problem and we need your support. I've been going to different civic associations to try to get letters of support from their board and from their members so that we can go to local council people and state representatives and say, hey, you're not going to get skewered if you come out in support of this. You know, the city is behind you. Let's do it. That's the idea.
The March in Black gets underway tomorrow evening at 6 in Kensington, part of the International Overdose Awareness Day. I've been speaking with its organizer, Dan Martino. Dan, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
It's my pleasure.